Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. And today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, Johnny. Yeah. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm excited that it's Psychic Night. I really like that. Every Friday. And the reason we call it Psychic Night is here. Dale Shear. Are you there, Dale?
Yes, I am. It's Psychic Dale Shear, Johnny.
And with here with Richard.
I'm with Richard, my friend. Richard, when I stumble and fall, he picks me up.
I love your friendship.
That works two ways.
Awesome together. Richard, okay. He has a great radio voice, too.
Yes, he does. It's amazing. He did radio, didn't you, Richard?
Well, I was involved.
You told us that. I can tell.
He's not telling much. He got a haircut to know he looks good.
He got a haircut.
Anyway, what I was going to say to everybody out there, next Friday, right after Thanksgiving, it's Black Friday or whatever you want to call it, we're not going to do this show because everybody's going to be running around and buying stuff. They're going to let everybody out. And Barbara, you and me stay home.
Yes, I've never done that Black Friday. No. Those clips of those people going crazy, that's insane. I mean, people actually get hurt and trampled.
I don't think it's going to be this way because of the COVID thing.
Just going to say, like, for example, I used to work for customer service for, like, Walmart. And Black Friday is considered to be the biggest day, marketing day of the year. And they told us that we had to work on Black Friday. And the only way we couldn't work on Black Friday is with a medical note. I mean, they really wanted us in there, you know, answering calls.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Anyway, Johnny, you want to give out the phone number?
The phone number to call in for a free mini meeting is 516-531-9874. And it's to talk to Dale Shear.
Psychic Dale Shear.
Psychic Dale
Shear.
You know why? He calls me Auntie all the time. So that's what they say in Hawaii. So he forgets all the time.
My psychic aunt, yes. Which she likes that. Yes. She likes the word psychic aunt. She likes that. So,
I like the word auntie because that's what they, when I first moved to Hawaii years ago, everybody would call me auntie or they tell their kids, go to auntie. And I'm going, what does that mean? Because the only thing I knew was your aunt and uncle, your real aunt and uncle, not auntie. But that's what they call.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. That's what they call.
You know why? I just said that. Go ahead and finish. But I have a, oh, my goodness. Now I get it now after you're finished with your story.
Anyway, so if they had kids and they wanted to let the kids know that I was safe, they would say, go to auntie.
Okay. Mm. Okay. The reason why I said, oh, my, is because my sister-in-law, whom I absolutely adore. She's awesome. She grew up in Hawaii, and she always wanted to be called Auntie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
It's a Hawaiian endearing title for somebody that you could trust. Go to Aunt Barbara. It's Auntie Barbara. Wow, I never knew that it derived really from Hawaii.
No, they don't even say Barbara. They'll point at you and they'll say, go to Auntie.
Wow. And she also calls me Sissy, and nobody ever called me Sissy before.
I don't know what that's for. I don't know. Richard, would you have an idea?
Hawaiian people are amazing. She's not Hawaiian. She just grew up there.
Doesn't matter. I grew up there, too.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're cool.
I grew up there in Lake Tahoe, two best places in the world. So, I mean, you know.
Right.
Although
and
lately,
her Las Vegas is her second home, like similar to you. Wow, that's interesting.
Let me interject, please. Let me interject.
Okay.
The term, term ante, it's really a term of respect.
And not switch trust. Okay.
Okay. One good example I can give you is Dale went into a market over in Hawaii. I won't say the area, but it's kind of a little sketchy area. And the next thing I know, here she comes out, followed by a great big Hawaiian carrying her groceries.
Samoan.
And as soon as he brought up, the Samoan. And he brought up and said, okay, Auntie, you know, take care of everything, and walked away. And, you know, a tourist would have had a hard time of it. But the term Auntie is a respect, like a family respect. And that's my best definition of it. So when they
very,
respect,
very nice.
Richard, it's endearing as well. It's both. It is both. It's both. Like aloha.
Yeah.
What
an honor.
What is?
I mean, honor, really.
I grew up with the locals, you know, and I speak pidgin, which is a language unto itself.
Right.
In Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And so I speak pidgin, and when I'm in Hawaii, I speak pidgin, and I know a lot of the locals, and they know me, and, you know, it's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
It is a wonderful culture.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you meet our first person?
Our first person is area code 205, and you are on the air.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi, Patricia, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Alabama.
My goodness.
Okay.
You've been getting lots of rain and wind and storms down there, correct?
Yes. It's just, you just never know what the weather is going to be. It's been cold, and it's been rainy. We've had a couple of days here in the last, maybe mid part of this week. It was about 70 degrees, so it felt good out there.
I know. We had some
outside.
The weather goes from Hawaii to Sacramento to like Tahoe down to you. It also goes up to Washington and Oregon and all over the place. But it's mainly coming from Hawaii, and it's coming from west to east. So it's crazy. You know, we had this.
Yes.
I looked at the temperature, and it said 70 degrees in Nevada, because that's where I am at right now. And I told my husband, give the dog a bath now. You know, in 2 days, it's going to be in the 50s, you know.
Exactly. I went out and cut my grass. I thought, let me go out here and cut the grass. I mean, even though it's not really growing as quickly, but it was just so nice out there. I wanted to be out there. I wanted to feel the warmth.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And get something
well,
done.
Expect some more of those, because the weather's changing. I don't know. It's whatever you want to call it, climate change or whatever. It's just changing. And every so many years it does this. But anyway, how can I help you?
Yes. God, I've been going back and forth. Do I even want to ask you this question? Okay. I have been out of a long-term relationship for about 3.5, maybe 4 years. And it's because at one point I was in nursing school, and then another instance, I had my grandkids for 18 months. So a lot of it has been by choice, because my attention was needed elsewhere. But now I'm ready. And I have been spending time with the initial W. I've been spending time with him in the last couple of months. And I don't really quite feel it like this is his relationship, but I do enjoy
him. What is the question?
I just want to know, do you see a relationship coming in for me?
Yes, I do, but in order to do that, you know, you'd almost have to get rid of this for that to happen, unless you want to do 2 or 3 men at a time. But, I mean, I see you being a really nice, wonderful person with a good heart, and you really care. I wouldn't want to make you angry because you would go off the charts. You would get really mad, whether you hold it in or you let it out. You just like, I wouldn't want to do that. But at the same token, this guy that you're with may, you know, take time to decide if he's for you or not, but I don't see you married to him. So if you want to date other men, there are 2 or 3 or 4 more coming in very quickly.
Yeah, they're coming in. They're here. They're being, like you said, maybe I think about 3, and I've sort of been around them, and no one seems to really just that interest, that southern gentleman, courting,
yeah,
old-fashioned type of, you know, love. I don't see any of that in them. So I was just wondering, is he out there in that unconditional?
Yeah, but maybe that. Here's the deal. You have to understand it. Because of the sexual harassment, people going to jail, men really don't know how to flirt anymore, if there is such a thing. They don't know what to say because they're scared that somebody might call sexual harassment, or that doesn't sound right, or you're too black or you're too white. You know, they're scared. They just have so many new things now that you got to watch your P's and Q's and dot your I's. You know, it's like, go and I flirt with a guy. I mean, what if he takes that wrong? You know what I mean?
So I wouldn't
let that bother you. Just go about your business like he's a friend. That's the best I can tell you.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, I'm,
I mean,
still
no
here.
More. Is there the gentleman, the southern gentleman, no more? I mean, you know, people are scared, you know?
Right.
That's all it is. Okay. It has really nothing to do with you. But as far as just keep dating, because eventually the numbers game will catch up and you'll find the right one. Okay?
That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling.
Many, many blessings.
Oh, thank you, darling. I could use them right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, I'll take care.
Got that. And Johnny, you want to give out the phone number again, please?
Sure. The number to call in for the free mini reading is 516-531-9874.
Thank you. Hey, Barbara?
Yes.
Barbara? What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
I'm here.
What's your
name? Oh, my dad. I'm just listening, too. I get lost in your show, Dale. My dad is coming down. I do. My dad's coming down for Thanksgiving from Arizona to here, Huntington Beach. I offered to have Thanksgiving dinner here for him and my daughter, Priscilla. Yeah.
Are you gonna cook it? Because,
yes.
You know, I want to let you know of 2 things. Not that you need it, but do you have a Safeway down there?
Yes.
Okay. You can order up a whole dinner from Safeway for half the price that you can buy, and then you just cook the turkey in the oven for 2 hours. I just want to let you know that, and they give you pie and ice cream, all sorts of things.
I did that before.
You want to do...
I have done that before. Because it's not very many people, you know.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I got lucky and got a 15-pound turkey at Walmart and 87 cents a pound. So I'm a really good cook. So I love to cook, and I'm going to make all kinds of goodies for the 3 of us.
I know, and you are.
And my dog.
I wish I was closer. I would bring over
I wish you were too.
Something special. Like I've lemon meringue pie. This is traditional.
What? That's my favorite, but I got to have the no sugar one. I've been looking up on the web on how to make no sugar lemon meringue, and I give up. Because I did buy it from Smith's not too long ago, and I got sick because of whatever. Little cream was
too much sugar.
Out.
I'm going to try to find that. I'm going to write that down and try to find that for you, Dale, because I don't like too much sugar either, but I love it. I think it's great, of course, to have pumpkin pie. But I like to have a berry and a lemon meringue. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
What
there is a recipe. There's a recipe for lemon meringue, sugar-free. Eventually, I'll attempt it, but not right now. I have the sugar-free pumpkin pie, but I put the substitute brown sugar in there. I mean, it's not the real one, but it's good. It comes out good.
I bet so.
I
just don't think it's going to be that hard. You know, I'm going to do the, you know, the trailer park Thanksgiving where I get the canned cranberry, I get the canned peas, you know, get the half of ham that's left that nobody else wants. You know, I mean, what's so hard? I like stovetop stuffing so much. I mean, that's my favorite. Once a year.
I could give you a very simple way to make stuffing that would blow your eyes out.
Okay.
You want to hear it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to just go over it real quick.
Sure.
But most important thing is, I don't know where you can find it. Maybe at Gelson's. I don't know if you have one around
there.
Yes.
We have sprouts.
Okay. If you do, you want to find chicken fat. That's the whole, not broth, just fat. You take one or two loaves of bread and mishmash it in the sink. Very lightly, you know, so it's just soft.
You mean break
and
it apart?
You mishmash it, you know, put your hands in there and
okay,
just
like that. Okay.
make it soft, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you put water in while you're doing it, just a little bit of water every time while you're doing it. You'd almost have to watch, but then you fry up some.
That.
Okay, mm-hmm. You fry up some mustard. Mustard. I don't know where that came from. You fry up some mustard.
What are you talking about?
Onions. Bell peppers in a pan. And then you put that in there. And then you put your seasonings of whatever you like. You put that in there. And the most important thing is the chicken fat. That's what gives it the flavor. And you
that
could die
does.
For it. And then you put it in the oven for about 30, 40 minutes.
That's it?
And put a little paprika in there.
What about celery?
Huh?
Do I have to saute
celery?
Yeah,
you could do celery. But the mishmash part is like if you were over the sink and you put two loaves of bread, a little at a time, then some water, you know, and then just mishmash it. You just keep putting a little water till you can feel it be right.
Does it matter? I know what you're talking about. It's like the consistency that you like to eat. Just make it that way.
Yes.
And then,
yes.
Dale,
yes.
What about the seasoning? You say whatever you like, but isn't, okay, that doesn't matter as much, just like salt and pepper,
no
garlic
because you're
or
making
anything?
Stuffy. No garlic, but salt.
I don't know, I've never made it.
I have gotten addicted to.
Oh, you gotta have garlic.
What I've got,
yeah. Well, I don't
what
know.
I've gotten addicted to is Dave, let me see. I'm putting this one thing on everything, and I'm just, like, so addicted. I will tell you what it is. You can get it at Walmart, but it's called Dave's Rub. And I'm
Dave's. Like Dave's bread, too? Because Dave has this bread that's great. Dave's bread. It's expensive. It's like $6 a loaf. But, okay, so the bread doesn't matter.
Okay.
It could be whatever you have at the house, like white or wheat or whatever we have, 12 grain bread. The bread doesn't matter, right?
Are you there? Dale.
Dale. Johnny, are you there? What happened
I'm
to Dale?
I'm here.
Okay. Well, go find your, please, Johnny, and I'll talk to Richard about the stuffing then.
Well, it says she's here.
Okay.
It
well,
says she's
okay.
here.
Okay, Richard, please don't talk aloud. I mean, can you just do that, and then I'm going to talk to Richard. Richard now.
Okay.
Richard, do you miss your mom's Thanksgiving dinners?
What about my mom?
Do you miss your mom's cooking? Do you remember it? And if you do, do you miss your mom's cooking?
Somewhat. She was not the greatest cook in the world. But
what about Thanksgiving?
I hate to say this, but my wife did a better job all the years.
Oh, that's
a wonderful
compliment.
And,
oh, that's fine. Not a
well,
bad compliment.
I'll give you
I
a
mean,
quick
a
thing about her.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, Richard, I think, got disconnected now.
You're kidding. I wonder what happened, Johnny. That's weird. Okay, well, I'll talk to you then, Johnny.
Okay.
What's your favorite? What is your favorite food on Thanksgiving? What's your favorite
dish? Oh, definitely
boxy
casserole.
Really? Isn't it called green bean casserole?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
green bean casserole is what they always make, not broccoli.
Yes.
Johnny, do you eat do you eat green bean casserole or
no broccoli?
You just said broccoli.
Yes.
Oh, that's not the traditional thing. Johnny, that's not the traditional dish.
Really?
It's green bean casserole. No, it's green bean casserole. That's what it is traditionally.
I didn't know that.
I like to throw a swing on my Thanksgiving dinner. I like to focus more on the appetizers. I have for the menu, I love pate. Mm. I don't get to eat like that very often because that's very, very fattening. Pate with the French bread and smoked oysters I love. I eat those all the time, though. They're just full of salt. They're so great. That's like a tradition in our family that we just have smoked oysters on the weekends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're from Seattle. We like a lot of seafood. But other than that, my favorite is the stuffing. I'm fine with stovetop stuffing. And if you want to bring your vegan stuffing or your gluten-free stuffing, I'm going to have to pass. But please, if I come to your house, do not only offer that, because a box of stovetop stuffing is going to complete my Thanksgiving. And it's not that difficult.
Okay, Richard.
I'm back.
Is Dale there?
I don't hear.
Hi, Richard. You know what?
Hi,
Johnny's going to go figure that out. Oh, great, because
something happened here.
To you
I don't
about,
know what happened.
Okay, let me try.
That's fine. That's for Johnny. Johnny, could you please just deal with that while we have a conversation? Because actually, people are listening right now. I'm trying to make it pleasant for them. All right.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio and it cut me off.
Oh.
Hmm.
I thought
okay.
you were going to be an advertisement.
Yeah,
I thought
you
were going to be recording there, Richard. What did you think?
Wow.
We're talking about Thanksgiving, okay? And
yeah, we're talking about dinner.
I want to know Richard's favorite dish on Thanksgiving that you look forward to.
My favorite dish? Basically,
it could be a dessert.
I used to, as growing up and everything, I ended up having a turkey leg. Yeah, loved it.
Yeah.
I was when I was a teenager, I consumed food and it went in, you know, and it never, I was skinny as a rail
and
you couldn't fill me up. Typical, you know, kind of a typical teenager. It's a machine that just grinds up food and the carload lots.
And, not just two helpings, maybe three helpings sometimes, right?
Now, I think Dale said that she was calling back in. Okay, let me see if that's her. Okay.
Hey, Richard, what kind of pie is your favorite for
you there, Dale?
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
Yes, I am. Pie. I don't know what happened, but all
something's
of a sudden.
Here.
I mean, we're getting disconnected from Blog Talk Radio. So, Johnny, are you doing something?
Nope.
Yeah, Johnny. What are you doing?
Hmm. I don't know. This Blog Talk Radio is really not good. Okay, let's go to a call. Let's forget about all this for the moment.
Okay, area code 443, you're on the air.
Hello, Psychic Dale.
Hi, who's this?
Hello.
My name is Suzanne.
Hi, Suzanne. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Maryland.
Maryland. How wonderful. One of the places I haven't been yet. Tell me a little bit about Maryland.
We call it America in miniature. We have the mountains, the coast, plains, farmland. It's really, for a really small area, there are some pretty places.
Wow. That's kind of cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Johnny, Richard, you've got to be silent, please. For a few moments. Okay, how can I help you? And what was your first name again?
Suzanne.
Okay. How can I help you?
My question is, well, I believe I'm a developing medium, and I had a friend that passed away recently, you know, on my spiritual journey, I believe. And I'm just wondering if the friend that passed away, if part of her soul journey or her soul contract might be to help me with this spiritual work. And or what you see me doing for spiritual work?
Spiritual work is kind of a very wide area. It seems to me that you're very good at helping people in general, okay? I believe from the other side that our people that have passed on, there are angels. And they help us when we need help. I know, God knows, I have had many angels stop me from dying on many occurrences. So if you want her to help you, you have to ask. They're not supposed to intervene unless you ask for their help. And once you ask for her help, she will give you information that you will be able to channel and help others. That's what I see.
Okay. And I know time is different. It does make sense. I know time is different there. I just wonder if you see me doing this before too long. I mean, I've been working for about a year on this, and I still feel like I need a little help with communication.
Well, you need to stop working at it. This is something I do naturally, and you could do it naturally as well. Just practice with your friends and practice and see what comes out. What I do, and Barbara and I eventually we're going to do this, is a tarot class on how to read your cards. We're going to do it eventually once she gets up and running with the with her show. And that's one way. You can practice. That's what I used to do, because before I did psychometry, I would do cards and I would do readings on people through cards and test it out that way. And it kind of works out really good, you know. You do it all for free and see what happens. Just do a reading, you know. If you look at my website, daleshear.com, daleshear.com, you'll see all my books. And I believe you can get tarot, how to read the cards in, Tarot for the Beginner. And it's about how to read the card. It's like $6 or $7. How to read the cards in 8 hours or less. I mean, or an hour or less. I mean, I wrote it. It's on my website, daleshear.com. Look under books. I can send you an autographed copy, or you can even get it from Amazon, okay?
Okay.
That'd probably be better off. Maybe I'll see some money from Amazon. You know, so
perfect.
And then you get the Rider-Waite easiest deck to read in the world. All these, I mean, it's whatever you're used to, but the Rider-Waite deck is very simple. I mean, I could teach it on the phone. But no, you have a gift, and just use it. Don't be scared. Just jump into the water.
Okay.
We'll do it. Yep. Thank you so much.
I want to know though. One thing. Who do you know by the name past or now by the name of Jeff or Jeffrey?
I have a cousin named Jeff, but he's alive.
Okay. Okay. When was the last time you talked to him?
Probably in December last year.
Okay. My feeling, I'm being told you need to connect with him again because there's something that he wants to talk to you about.
Okay. Oh, you know what, too? I also have a friend named Jeff that I talk to more often.
Who?
Ooh, wonder which one it is. I have a friend named Jeff, too.
A son? Mm-hmm.
He's Jeff with a G.
Doesn't matter. Jeff is
no.
Jeff. That's unusual.
I know.
No, I think it would be your son that you need to get
not
in there.
Not my son.
And
no.
Start...
My friend. I have a friend and a cousin. I'm sorry. Friend and cousin. I didn't say son.
Okay. I don't know which one, but it's one of them where you've got to get in there pretty deep and pull out some of the garbage.
I have a feeling it's my friend then. Okay. I will find out what's going on.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And Barbara, I'm going to give out my phone number for private consultation, which is 808-372-1816. I'm in Nevada. Or they could look me up as Dale, D-A-Y-L-E, Shear, S-C-H-E-A-R.com.
Yes, great. And just go.
Okay, do you want
to
go to another one?
If you even forget your phone number, you have your website there with your phone number on it. I was just looking at your website, too. It looks great.
Isn't it cool, the waves and stuff, the water? Can we have another one, Johnny? Hello?
Johnny!
Johnny.
Hello?
Oh, I'm here.
What are you doing, Johnny?
I screening the next caller. When you talk to a caller, I screen the next one.
Okay, go on.
Okay.
You don't have to screen that good, so don't worry about it. Anyway, put the next one on.
610, you're on the air.
Anything over here.
Wait, what?
Hi. Hi, my name is Tonette.
Hi, Tonette. Where are you calling from?
Hi. Philadelphia, PA.
All right. I grew up in Jersey, so I'm very familiar with Philadelphia, PA, especially from Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And Philly is quite a neat place to eat. Do they still have the diners?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The diners, steak shops, everything. Yes.
Wow. I love your accent. Okay. How can I help you?
Okay. So I am... involved with a older female. This is a love relationship. She gave me a ring in February. Then she got distant. Then we had a big argument. Then she stopped talking to me, but I still had all the jewelry. And she lives right across the parking lot from me. Okay, so we reconnected a couple weeks ago. We're back being physical. We're back. Everything's good. The problem is, and like I said, she's 53, I'm 47. The problem is what I'm seeing is she gets real, real close, especially like if we kiss or do stuff like that or whatever, we good. And then after that, she distances herself for several days. And I've noticed this pattern and I've gotten used to it to just give her space. I'm just concerned about why is she doing this or what is going on. I mean,
I can tell you.
She's showing my picture to everybody at her job. She's so proud to have
me as her girlfriend.
Okay.
Hello? You're calling me for an answer, not you telling me, okay? There is a part of her in the deepest part of her that she won't tell you or anybody else. She does love you to death, but at the same token, she feels, and this happens a lot, she feels morally, is she doing the right thing? And so that really festers in her head. and she's that way for a few days, and then she snaps out of it. That's all it is.
Well, she's been in other same-sex relationships, and this woman has done years in state prison and has been with other females. So I don't think if she's sitting there thinking morally, am I doing the right thing? This woman
I know for a fact that it's a subconscious thing. I'm not saying it's out in the open at all, and that's what I start off saying. So it's a below par. She won't admit to it. She won't talk about it. I just feel that what you're doing with her is fine, and giving her the space to just let her think things through, it's fine. It's not a problem. But you ask why? That's what I see. So I'm telling you, you know, it's no big thing. No big thing. I don't care how many women she's been with. It doesn't matter. You always got that in the back of your mind. Is this right? I don't know. It's there, okay?
So when is she going to snap out of this and just, be normal?
She won't. She's not normal. I mean, you know, she loves you. She loves you to death. But she's had a lot of pain and sorrow and suffering in her life. It's hard for her to get over a lot of things. And so just accept her for who she is or don't. It's up to you.
Right. Because, I mean, we're talking about me, right, we're talking about me moving into her apartment and everything. So, I mean, if I'm going to be doing that, what is she going to do? You can't be distancing yourself with someone that you live with.
I can't give you a whole reading on the phone. I'm not going to do it. So I'll just basically say you need to discuss it with her. If you want an in-depth reading, you call me. But if not, that's the best I can tell you for right now.
Okay.
Okay? And thank you for calling.
Thank you, ma'am. Yeah.
Thank you.
Aloha.
And anybody wanting to call me for a private consultation, the number is 808-372-1816. And if you look at my website, daleshear.com, you'll see my prices.
Yeah.
Which are very
low. I'm
glad
you put your prices there. I just saw that.
Yeah, well, they're very low. They're low.
I know, but it's not like you're fishing. You're fishing, contact me, then I'll tell you my price, you know, will and deal. It's like cut and dry. Look, you can expect to pay, you know, at least this much, but for more time, it's going to go up. So I think it's great. I don't like it when people don't always put prices down. I think it's so much better. You get a ballpark before you call.
No, but it's not going up. It's just that's what we agreed to, that I charge low because I feel that I have a God-given gift, and I like to help people with it. So I don't like to rip anybody off. I don't want to be ripped off, you know? So
got that wrong, what I just said, though, because I didn't mean it's going up. I meant for more time. If you want to add more time, it's more expensive for the reading. Not like,
you can.
Can we tell your prices go up? No, I didn't mean that.
Oh, okay. No, but I mean, usually I can help somebody within 30 to 40 minutes of any reading. Unless it's a murder or a killing or something like that, then that's, you know, totally different.
Right.
And that is more time, and that costs a little more money. But at the same token, that's stuff I don't like to do, so I don't even advertise it. But I'm good at it. I just don't like doing it. I don't like blood, gore, and all that stuff, you know?
Of course.
I like finding people that are alive, not dead.
You know, it's funny.
And like it is,
I read one of the chapters of your book, and I, after reading it, I realized it was very intense, and it was about one, I think, where you solved a case about a man who, about his child being passing away and murdered or something, and it was and you basically said I was the psychic that solved the case. I don't know if you know the chapter I'm talking about.
No,
but
I have no idea what it's. I don't even remember writing that.
Oh, well, you did. What I'm saying is that stuff has to be very hard to go through, you know.
Well, when you're getting into murder cases, very
I've been very lucky in Hawaii and whatever, and with police contacting me or whatever, naval intelligence. But usually the person is not dead, and I've been lucky and either been able to find them or give them, you know, I'm not, they can't use my legs. If I give the police information or whatever, they have to go out there and look for themselves, you know. Like I'll give you one, for instance, of in Hawaii, where these two ladies came to my house and somebody was missing. And the hardest part is telling them, sometimes I'm the one to tell them that the person is no longer alive. And the weirdest thing was my teacher taught me how to get take a map out and put a pen and put the clothing wrapped around the pen on the map and circle wherever the circle goes is where it is. And that's what I did. And it just so happened to be an airport up at North Shore that hadn't existed for 25 years. But I told them they were by an airport and, you know, up toward the north and da-da-da, and where to find them, and they were right off the road, wrapped in clothing and everything. And
oh, wow.
That's where they found the person. They started looking, and they looked at a map, and they started looking down the streets where there used to be an airport, and they found him, found her, murdered. And I said it was the husband who did it, and he actually... We actually got the person arrested. So that's one of my ones that I will say, but I'm not going to mention the name. It's in my book, The Psychic Within. But I don't know, Johnny, which one you're talking about, because I can't, unless you give me the name of the chapter, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I've been bouncing around reading chapters is what I've been doing. So.
Oh, okay. With Psychic Within, I've read a lot. I mean, I've written a lot of chapters, and then how that was probably one of the hardest books I've written on how I found out what it was all about.
Hmm.
Did you get
that? And
that's
very rare. That's very rare, I hear, statistically, for a person to be arrested. Because there's so, we hear about it on the news, there's so many that never were caught. That's so great that you were able to help find, oh, wow.
But now,
person.
Barbara,
wow.
More and more because of DNA, more and more. Like,
yes. And that wasn't even very long ago. Like when I first moved to Los Angeles, they didn't have the DNA going on like they do now at all. Because I was looking up old cases. Like you were telling me about the Bill Clinton with Monica Lewinsky, how interesting.
Yeah.
Not. Yes, they didn't have. And then I started, like, it forwarded me to a lot of cases like that where they could really find DNA. I mean, they could go, the Me Too movement could be helped by that, like getting guys' DNA off of things.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
And that's how they've been able to arrest a lot of people. That's what happened to me in one case I worked on. And it's in my book. It was a young girl who was missing, and I said that she was murdered at the dance studio and whatever. And, of course, nobody believed me, but I hunted around, and I found a little necklace of hers, and they said I couldn't find that because they were on their hands and knees, the police, for 8 hours and found nothing. And I believe the girl from the other side somehow handed me her little D, which was Diane Suzuki. And I took it home with me because the police officer said you could take it home and to see what you feel. But then they yelled at me for taking it home because you're not supposed to touch evidence. So whatever. I didn't know that. And so I said, you got a problem with me, give me a lie detector. And they did. And I did not for one moment think that I had any guilt in me whatsoever.
So I went in there charging, and I put my television crew with me and showed me taking a lie detector test. I did not for one thing or 1 minute think that I would be guilty, which was stupid. But anyway, I passed the lie detector test with flying colors, and the police officer said to me, "I have never seen anyone this honest in my life, ever, to make you lie."
Cool.
'Cause they have to do a test to make you lie, and they couldn't find anything that would make me lie except for one thing. They said, "Did you ever lie to a police officer in 20 years?" And I said, "No." That they found out I was not telling the truth, and judged that not telling the truth by, you know, if I was lying or not. So it was pretty amazing. But I enjoyed that, and I aired it on my show, and it was cool.
Oh, I love that. All that is so interesting. But I understand why, after all these years doing so much of that, you would rather just do the radio show and the helping people through something good, because like Johnny was saying, it is really hard to feel all of that being immersed.
It was
a very
upsetting chapter to read. It was a very upsetting chapter. I mean, it's
not
a matter.
Tell me what it is, Johnny. Johnny, can you look through the book? Can you tell me what it is? You're driving me.
I think it was the
one
right before the Peter Hurkacz chapter.
That doesn't help me. What was it about? I wrote that book a long time ago.
You were helping a man come to grips with his daughter being deceased, and there was a headline that said that a psychic helps out, and then after you wrote that, you went, "I was the psychic."
Are you sure you're reading the right book?
Yes, this is your book.
But first you said it was a son. First, Johnny, you said first it was a boy.
It was
that the man found his son. Now you're saying he found his daughter.
It was a son or daughter. I mean, it was somebody's child.
Okay, but no, wait, Johnny, do you have the book by you that you could go through it while we're talking?
Yes. I'll do it.
Thank you. Go do that, because I have no idea what you're talking about. Barbara, have you had a chance to read any of my books that I sent you?
But this was so long ago, and I read a couple of things like Johnny did, but I'm not going to come on a radio show and not remember what chapters. So let me read it again and then ask me that, okay?
Okay, what chapter?
What?
The jury convicts Tandel chapter.
Tandel. Okay, that's Tandel. Give me the name of, that's Roxanne Tandel. That's the one I was just telling you about that I got a conviction because
I told
the police.
Yeah,
yes, I told the police that the husband murdered her, and they kept a look on the thing. In fact, I was in the house with the police going. We were rummaging through some stuff, and then he was on the way to the house, so we had to duck and get out of there. It was very intense.
Ooh, how did you feel, Dale, when you were in there? Sometimes when somebody's died recently, don't you feel cold?
No, she was no. No, I. How did I feel? That I had to get the hell out of there because this guy was going to come home. The husband was going to come home. So, I mean, it was a big, intense thing that I went through on Roxanne Tandel, because that's the one where I said she'd be found near the airport, which there was no airport in Honolulu at that time, and there was one prior to 20 years prior. But that's where I said the body would be found. Is they got 70 people to look within or about that area, and they found her. And that's the only way to find somebody. I can't be walking around and find somebody. I don't want to see blood and gore, thank you.
Well,
that is amazing.
Yes,
thanks for your work.
We have one more caller. Do you want to put that one person through?
Yeah, through, sure.
Okay. This is area code 917. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Oops.
Hello.
Barbara.
Hello, caller.
Yeah, I did screen
nope.
it. 917, are you there?
Johnny, go on.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Go back and check on that, because if they've waited that long, they really want to talk to you. Oh, Dale, if they come back, go to them. But I had something really interesting happen to me paranormally.
What? Oh, what?
Okay.
Tell me. Do tell.
Okay. So when, after my mother passed away, which was last April, Priscilla and I were coming back from her school. I picked her up and I was at a stoplight, turning left. On my right, I just happened to glance. That woman looked just like my mother. And I said, Priscilla, who's my daughter, look at, doesn't she look just like Grandma? Oh, my gosh, it's a spitting image. Yes, it did. She thought so, too. So I turned. Okay, literally just yesterday. And this was like 2 or 3 weeks later. I'm pulling up thinking, oh, my gosh, remember when I was thinking to myself and I wasn't with Priscilla. That was so weird how that turned to my right and there that woman was again. What does that mean?
Okay,
what
in the
world does that
this?
Mean?
It means from the other side, they're able to communicate somewhat. So they are picking people that you would notice. It's a message from your mother. It's a hello. It's be aware of something, or it's, you know, it's a statement of some sort that she is telling you. And the best way to find that out is when you go to bed, put a piece of paper or something by your bedside, write mom and say, tell me what you need to tell me. And please put it in my head. And when you get up in the morning, just write. And that will be the answer of what she's trying to tell you.
Oh, thank you, Dale.
I mean, when you look and see someone that looks like somebody who's passed, they've taken the form of that person to try to get your attention. That's what it is.
Wow.
I've had that
so
in dreams.
Really,
I've had
really
that in dreams.
Wow. That is so something then, because it just was so crazy how this person looked. And I kept staring at her because, you know, when you stare at somebody to the right or left of you when you're sitting in traffic at a stoplight, they can kind of feel it and look over. I tested that, and I kept staring at her, staring at her, and she never looked back over at me. She just had that pleasant mother's look, and she had the SUV like mom. Not exactly, but oh, my gosh, the little pokey nose, everything.
She was
thank
just, you,
Dale.
You know, saying hi to you. I've had so many weird things happen to me in that respect. Where somebody departed has come through. But I think the weirdest thing I've ever had, one of the weirdest things I've ever had, I'd say the weirdest, was I taped the news in March 1 year, and I came back to watch the news, and I was just reading something, and I hear my name, Dale Scheer, around, and it was on the TV, you know, that I had taped. A mechanical voice, they use electronics a lot, mechanical voice that was calling out my name. What it meant, I don't know, but to this day, I've been trying to figure it out. But I have it on tape. It's a video, and I had taped the show, and I kept it.
That is strange. But I think somebody's calling my name. Maybe, you know what you always say, Dale? You always tell people, watch out for the signs. Be aware.
Right, the signs.
Mm-hmm.
The signs. That's a sign. That is a sign. Like, let me give you one of the biggest signs I have. My girlfriend and I were talking on the phone. Her name was Corinne, talking on the phone up at the lake. Just normal. I mean, it just sounded normal. We were passing by the casinos. Everything was fine. I said, I'll talk to you later. Or when I get home. So when I got home, I get this. You've got to come over here. You've got to come over here right now. I go, what? You've got to hear this. You've got to hear this. So I went over, and she had taped or something. It was on a recorder. And it said, Corinne, you will die soon. And we're going, what the hell is that? I mean, you know, we just like didn't even know what it was or who it was or who was warning us. And we took it as a warning, and I finally figured it out. It took me about a year to figure it out. What it was is that she had those old-time heaters, and they give out carbon monoxide. And I said to her, just turn off the heater. There's something with the carbon monoxide. There's something there, and it could kill you. And so, sure enough, there was an alarm. I made her get carbon monoxide detectors. That's what it was. We put it in her house. I have it in every room in my house. We put it in her house, and they went off. And the police said, if you didn't wake up fast enough, if you didn't come out in the air, you would have been dead.
It
so that's another eerie thing.
Poison.
Huh?
It really is. It doesn't wake you up. You are so right. It's like you can be sleeping and then you just die. It's kind of like a peaceful
death. Well, no, but if you have the carbon monoxide detectors, they're about $40, and you plug them in, they'll go off at the slightest amount of carbon monoxide in the house. Got it?
I do. Mm-hmm. That's a great tip. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Well,
Johnny, you
should
you
put
those?
It in.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny, do you have a carbon monoxide detector?
No, but I'm sure my parents are on top of that. I mean, it's...
You can't assume that. You should put one in your room. The same with
okay.
Barbara. Put one in the room. You just go down to Walmart and buy one, plug it in. And at any time I got two in the house here, time, if they go off, you get out of the house and you go into the air and then you call 911 and you ask for the fire department. They'll come out and check it.
Especially in the winter when people are using things like their ovens. They use their gas oven to heat their apartment. Things like that, very, very dangerous. And some people don't even know the dangers of it.
Or they're sitting in the car and they want to warm up.
Right. In their garage, which happens, you guys. It sounds crazy, but it's happening. I see it on the news. It still does happen.
Oh, yeah. Okay, where are we at? None of this gruesome stuff anymore. Johnny, where are we
at? Well, I think we are at the end of the hour. I talked to that lady that I tried to get on. She said that she's going to call back next week. Actually, oh, God.
No.
The next time that you're on.
I think you better call her back and tell her not this Friday,
yeah.
But the following Friday.
Okay, I'll tell her. All right.
Okay, what date is the following Friday?
That is going to be the day after Thanksgiving, so it's going to be the 26th.
Oh, so we can't do the show then either, because that's Christmas. No, that can't be right.
The day after?
No,
Johnny,
let me
look, right.
Everybody. Johnny, come on now. Isn't it always on the okay, when is Thanksgiving? It's always on a Thursday, but not always the same date. Am I correct on that?
Yes, it's going to be the 26th. I mean, the next Thursday is the 25th. The 25th is going to be Thanksgiving. So next Friday is going to be the 26th.
Okay, that's
right.
Not what we asked. The week after is what?
Oh, December the 3rd.
Okay, we're okay for December the 3rd. All right. Okay, so now you tell people that we'll be on December 3rd. It's the next show.
Right.
Unless Barbara's going to do anything with us. Are you going to do anything that we're going
to
do?
Of course I am. You're not going to have to wait till then. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
No. Especially since what you said before we went on air about Richard. And I know that, and I'm aware. I've got to have Richard on right away. And would you like to do a cameo when Richard comes on? The
sure.
Barbara Moore Show. Okay, awesome.
Yes.
Okay, I look forward to it. So, listeners, everybody, you know Richard.
He's
always on Fridays with Psychic Dale Shear, her best friend. And guess what?
Yes.
He's 93 years old. And these people I cherish. I cherish people like you, Richard, because you
thank
have
you.
A wealth of knowledge and stories that about some things we've never probably even seen or heard of. And we're going to do that. So,
oh,
yes,
yeah.
Dale. We're going to do it.
Okay, sweetie. Thank you very much. And everybody, have a happy Thanksgiving. And a big aloha to everybody out there.
Aloha.
Right. Aloha, Dale and Richard. And we are grateful for you, Psychic Dale Shear, for helping so many every single Friday on Life, Laughter, Happiness. And by the way, everybody, I might as well do the shout out. Go to our YouTube channel, Life, Laughter, Happiness YouTube. Subscribe, support, and don't forget to hit the like button. You will love all of Dale's shows on Friday night. And visit us everywhere else on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I'm going to say happy evening as well to everybody. And we're all grateful for each other, and that makes me feel good. You guys are like my family.
Right.
Well, not everyone. Right.
Aloha, Life, Laughter, Happiness listeners.